is Parshas Truma. Parshas Truma begins with a very important pasuk. Can I say? It begins with a very important pasuk. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemar. Why do I say it's a very important pasuk? It is the first time in the Torah where it says Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemar. Yeah. No, it's not. We're of era. You show me.
Before Shani,
you gotta show me. If you're correct, you're correct. I would never know this. I read this in the book. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe v'el Aaron v'yitzaveim. He commanded them, El Bnei Yisrael, El Parvelach Moshayim, El Haitzias, El Shom Yeretz Yisrael. Oh, before, you know, you're right. It says, Vayidaber Hashem, Moshe Lemar, Bo Daber, Parvelach Moshayim. You're right. So how come I have a sefer that says the first time it says it?
I don't think
you're right. Parshas Va'era, you are correct. Vayidaber Hashem, El Moshe Lemar, Bo Daber, El Parvelach Moshayim. You should go the whole heart. Out the window.
Maybe this is just a pasuk by itself. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemar. Does it say Boda? It doesn't say Lemar.
Yes.
It says the same thing. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar. Bodaber El Paro Melech Mitzrayim. Okay, so you are correct. You are correct. Out the window. Next part. You can always go home. No one is forcing anyone to stay.
Put the
gospel
on the outside.
Okay, you're right. This is exactly, you got me. It's right here in the pasuk. In Shemos and Va'era, in Mr. Weiss is on the mark. In Va'era, pasuk yud, perek vav, pasuk yud, vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar.
Perek
what? Perek vav, pasuk yud. I was preparing, and I opened up a sefer in the preparation and made a whole drasha because this is the first time it says vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar. I didn't like what he said. I had a whole different interpretation of why this is the first parasha, but obviously it is incorrect. Out the window. Next vart.
What if you put the garden on the outside of your
head? Please, give me a chance. Give me a chance, please. Okay, let's begin with another vart. Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yikhu li truma. Me'eis kalisha yidvedu libo tikhu es trumasi. Now Rashi says something, and then let me go one further. And the next pasuk says, v'zois hatruma shartichu meitam, so if you look at the first two psukim in the parasha, it says the word teruma three times. Again, daber el v'nei Yisrael v'yikuli teruma. Number one, me'yes kol ish asher yidvenu libo tikhu es teruma si. Two, gimel v'zois hateruma asher tikhu meitam zahav v'chesef v'nechayshes. Right, three times the word teruma. Who takes note of the repetition of the word two or three times? Not me, Rashi. Right? It's one of the first Rashi in this parasha. Tikhu es trumosi, omru rabbi seinu, gimel terumois amurois kan. It says here the word truma three times. What is the repetition alluding to three times? Rashi explains, achas trumas beka lagogoyles, every soul, a beka, a coin, per skull, every single person was required to give a machsa shekel in order to, the money was used to make the adonim, the sockets for the mishkan, shenasu mehem ho adonim, the sockets for the bottom of the kiroshim, kumosh mefurish be'ele pekude, the achas, one shuma is chumas hamizbeach, deka lago goyles lekupos, the boxes where they drew from that money to purchase karbonos. Karbonos liknois mehem karbonos sibor. The achas chumas hamishkan, just general donation for the building fund. A building fund donation in order to support the upkeep of the mishkan. Nidvas kol echod v'echod sheis nadvu yud gimel devarim, one of 13 types of materials for amudim b'inyan in this parasha. Okay, so Rashi, one of the first Rashis, tells us that it says the word Truma three times, and it's coming to allude to the three different collections. There was a triple collection for the Adonim, for the, which is the foundation of the Kroshim, for the Korbanos, and for the general upkeep, the building fund, things they needed to purchase in order to build a Mishkan. Fine, that's what Rashi says. I want to make another diik, and I want to match the diik that I make to the three, the triple, the repetition of the word truma three times. The parsha begins vichu li truma, and what does the word li mean? Rashi says li lishmi. Li means I want you to give the money l'shem shamayim. I don't want there to be any ulterior motives whatsoever. And indeed, Chazal tell us that this was the chokhmah of Bezalel. Bezalel was the collector. When people gave money, he was able to discern from the way they gave the money their degree of sincerity. And he would use the money, depending upon the degree of sincerity, he would use that money for something more holy. A person gave money with extreme sincerity, that money was used to make the Aron HaKodesh, or the Menorah. Person gave money with less sincerity, he used it to buy a material for the curtains on the outside of the Mishkan. Gave even less sincerity, not the curtain that appears in the front, the curtain that's all the way in the back. This was the Chochma Bezalel. He was able to understand a person's intent. And based upon their intent, he would direct the donation for a very specific purpose. They say about it, very holy rebbes of previous generations, they had that same gift. Rebbe, people come for pidyon, right? They come to give a kvittel. Talking not this generation, we're talking going back hundreds of years. The people give a kvittel, and with the kvittel they give pidyon, you give money. So what does the Rebbe do with the money? He doesn't keep it for himself. Okay, the olden days, most of the olden days Rebbes, they didn't go to sleep unless they gave away every last penny they had, even not so long ago. The Kapitchnitz Rebbe. They say also he didn't go to sleep unless he had nothing in his pockets. Every penny that a person gave to the Rebbe, for pidyon, you give tzedakah in order that the Rebbe should give you a brach, I don't know how these things work. I'm the last guy to know how these things work. So you give money, he doesn't keep it for himself. If he keeps it for himself, you know you're going to the wrong rabbi. That I can tell you, okay? If you give the money, he gives the money away to tzedakah. What tzedakah? Do you know how many requests people ask come every single day? You know how many requests people come for? There are So they used to have a talent that was part of the chokhmah of a rebbe. He was able, just by looking at you and the way you spoke, to discern your kavana in giving the money to the Rebbe. And if you made an impression on him, he would hold that money aside, and when someone came for a request, this money that was given by this person, this is where it goes. And this money that was given for something that was so insincere, he was so l'shem shalom, I know this guy's a faker. I have to give him because, you know, he's entitled. He knew how to be meshadech the donations with the requests. Okay, so this is what the Bezalel did. This is Beferish and Chazal, this idea. He, the chokhmah slave, he knew how to discern where to direct the money. The first thing is, you need to give the money l'shma. Vichu li l'shmi. Give it l'shma. Give it l'shem shamayim. The next thing Rashi says, Shuruma hafrasha. Yafrishu li mimimoinam nidava. The next thing Rashi says is the word truma means give. Yafrishu li. What's the word yafrishu? What is the translation, the deeper translation? Take something that you possess and give it up. The first Rashi is just do it l'shem shamayim. Doing something l'shem shamayim does not necessarily mean you have to give up anything. If you're hired to do a task, you're hired to be a worker, I'm not giving up anything. In fact, I'm making money. I'm making a salary by doing this. But just because you're making money, do it l'shem shamayim. Okay, do it. Do the service l'shem shamayim. Let's say you're a Baal Kriya and they're paying you a lot of money to lane. So I'm getting money. But just because you're getting the money, you're not... Do it l'shem shamayim. Then there's an element, I'm not getting anything, I'm giving. I'm taking from my hard-earned money and I'm giving it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's called truma. That's a very noble thing. I don't have to give you anything, but I want to give. And then the third thing Rashi says, Yidvenu libo, the third Rashi is l'shoin nedava, a gift, k'mo yidvenu v'hu l'shoin rotsoin toiv, goodwill, rotsoin toiv. question is, what is Rashi doing here? The first three Rashis, he's being he's this verbosity. What's he elaborating? Do it l'shem shamayim. Give up of yourself. Be mafresh. And number three, there should be goodwill. Rotzoin toif. Goodwill.
Sounds like Lishmi.
Oh, exactly. It sounds like Lishmi. And if you're not doing it l'shem shamayim, why would you give? The fact that you're doing it l'shem shamayim automatically means you're going to give up of what you have to serve Hashem. What is Rashi coming to elaborate and giving us three different dimensions? L'shma, give up of yourself, and do it with a rotzoin toif. What's the difference of the nuances between the three?
So I wonder.
But what's the difference between the other two, be Lishmi and the Yafrish? I want to suggest is that these three elements that Rashi presents, he is setting us up for the next Rashi. The next Rashi is, why does it say the word Truma in this parsha three times? Truma, Truma, Truma. The answer is, there are three types of Truma. There was a Truma for the foundation, there was the Truma for the korbanos, the cost of bringing every single day a korban tzibur, the tamid shel shachar, tamid shel ben avayim, and the menorah, the ketores, and the musafim. And then there is a general building fund donation. The first truma is what? The adonin, the foundation. Rashi is telling us, zelumazeh, li, when you build a foundation, it should be 100% l'shem shamayim. Forget about the money. Forget about even if money is not an issue. The money's in the bank. The money, the government's giving you the money. Who cares? When you go and you establish a new institution, a new bias, a new makam in honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, building a shul. Why are you building the shul? It's just a breakaway from another shul. Lahachas, you know how many shuls are built on that foundation? The only reason why we're building the shul is because I was insulted in that shul. I'm a multimillionaire. Money is nothing to me. Because in that shul, the rabbi didn't compliment me on my birthday. I don't like him. I'll make my own shul. I'll hire my rabbi, and that rabbi will be my puppet. Is that a shul that you think is going to have a kiyum? What kind of shul is that? The whole shul is only a breakaway minyan because they daven too slow, they don't like the nusach, so they make their own minyan. What kind of shul is that? The whole makor of the foundation of a new institution, a school, just lahachis, this school is no good. So instead of helping and working with the system, you got to go break away and make your own system? That's called a shema. It's a joke. It's for your covered. The first thing you need when you go and you build a new institution, when you lay the foundation, is it should be 100% l'shma. The first words of Rashi, li l'shma, that corresponds to the first truma. What's the first truma? The first truma is the adonin. The adonin means the foundation. The second truma is yafrishu. I want you to take from your hard-earned money, your hard-earned, and give it up, give it away. What is that going to respond to? Korbanos. What is korbanos? What is the essence of a korban? You give up. When you bring a korban, what are you really saying? Really, Hashem, I should give up my life to you. Just like Yitzchak. I should be the one who's put on the altar and should give up my life to you in recognition of everything you've done for me and my failure in not fulfilling your will. Listen, you don't want korbanos, so in exchange, I bring the animal. The essence of a korban is to give up, is yafrishu, is to take what you have and give it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the third truma, Rashi says? The third truma corresponds to a building fund. The building already is in existence. It's going. The building was built 100 years ago. The korbanos, there are enough korbanos. You need to give a donation. To keep the building going healthy, someone should paint the walls, pay, the floor should be clean. You should have happiness. Ratzon toiv. It's not about Hashem. It's not about giving up. When you give money, This is your place. It's my bias. You should feel good about being part of this makom. That's the third donation. A person who's happy to be part of an institution, you don't have to go call them 100 times, can you please send in your membership dues? The person, I'm happy, this is my place. I enjoy being part of this community. I want the place to succeed. This is a place I call home. I'm happy to send in the donation. It's not like, oh, I'll do you a favor. I come there to shul once in a while, new, after you call me 50 times and send me 20 emails, I'll do you a favor, I'll send in a donation to the building. I don't really care for this place. It's not my place. There's no ruts and tough. You're twisting my arm. That's a mistake. You have to be part of the organization, part of the institution, when the money you give for the general membership dues, the upkeep, there is rotsoin toiv. So what we're trying to do over here is to point out, we have two sets of Rashis. The second Rashi is explicit. It says here in the parasha, the first two psukim, the word truma three times. And Rashi says, why three times? What is it coming to allude to? And the answer is three different types of donations. The adonim, the korbanos, and the general building fund to keep up the Beis HaMikdash, donations for the Beis HaMikdash in general, for the Mishkan in general. And then Rashi precedes that comment by defining for us in very precise words, the yikhu li truma me'ez kol yasha yidvenu, and then the last expression, what does all that mean? And Rashi says it means lishma. It means hafrasha, give up. Number three, it means rotzoin toiv. It has to be these three expressions of emotion, of frame of mind, correspond exactly to the three different types of donations that are being demanded from the people here in this parasha. When it comes to build something, to establish something from the very start, you better make sure it's l'shem shamayim. Don't build a new institution only because it's a wedge to get your way or to take revenge against someone else. L'shma, adonim. Number two, korbanos. When you're giving money for korbanos, focus on hafrasha. When you bring a korban, you should give up your life, the ultimate sacrifice. That's what a korban is all about. So you're not going to give up your life, but you have to do things in this world to show that you're giving up. You give up of your time, you give up of your money, you have to give up. That's what korbanos are all about. And the third truma is the general upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. You should have happiness. You have to have Rotzoin toiv in order to, when you give that money, because you have to view this to be your my bias, your makom, a place that you call your own.
It fits in with Mishnayis and Shkolim. Shloshasha Shofaros, they divided up the money.
13 boxes.
One Mishnah, after the first Mishnah in that Perek, it says Rav Gamliel made sure where his money, into which bag his donation wanted to go for Karbonis.
Well, right, that's the general halacha. They have to be designated to represent.
In other words, but he was makbid where it should go. He wanted to see where the money went.
It has to go in the right box. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, let's talk about the krushim for a moment. We'll come back to the or in a few moments. I think this word is a very important story in life, this part. It says here, they came in the midbar, and Hashem says, you're going to make krushim. You're going to make, the structure will be made from krushim. Pasuk says, beautiful Rashi, the osiso es hakiroshim la mishkan atzei shitim oimedim. Notice that this is the opposite way we build a house. Remember, how do you build a house? The traditional way, a log house. Anyone have those used to have toys? Logs. When you chop down a tree and you make a house, you lie down the logs horizontally. And you build a house. The Mishkan is the opposite. Instead of lying down the trees, the Atzei Shitim, horizontally, as is the Derech Shel Kol Ha'olam Kuloi, Atzei Shitim Oimedim. You put the logs straight up. Okay? It's a whole different type of structure. Of course, you make it nice and square, plate it with gold, but that's not how you build a house. Everyone knows when you make a log house, you build a house, you cut down a tree, each law goes horizontally, and you build. Here you're building a structure, you're going the wrong way. It's very unique. Atzei shitim oimdim, it's a whole different type of structure. Chazal darshan oimdim lo'ad uli olmi olamim. Okay, that's just a side point. Rashi is the obvious kasha. Where in the world, in the desert, did they get for themselves atzei shitim? Okay, the pasuk says, Pasuk tesvav, the osu siso as akroshim, havele lemeimar the osiso akroshim, kvashnem beholder vidover, mahu hakiroshim, what is the hey hayidia? Hakiroshim. Rashi answers, kvashnem beholder vidover, mahu akroshim, me oisen haimdim umyuchadim lakach. What does this mean? Yaakov Avinu, nota arozim bimitzrayim. He planted arozim in Egypt. Uchashemes tzivo lebanav. He commanded his children haloisim imohim kishayotzim bimitzrayim. Yaakov Avinu, he planted arozim. Now the truth is, there's another Rashi. I think I overlooked. Rashi says this twice. I didn't even notice this. Mamash twice. Fascinating. You have to see the difference. Go back in the beginning. He says it actually twice in the very beginning of the parasha. The Atzei Shitim. Me'ayin hoyu lohem ba'midbar. Where did the Jewish people have Atzei Shitim in the desert to build the Mishkan? And for the Aron as well. Perish Rebbe Tanchuma. Yaakov Avinu Tzofa Baruch HaKodesh Shasidin Yisrael Livnois Mishkan ba'midbar. They would build the Mishkan Bamidbar. What did he do? He brought, when he went down to Egypt, at the end of his life, for the last 17 years, he brought down with him Arozim. Now, I always thought in my mind, Yaakov going down to Mitzrayim, he went down with 18-wheelers, or flatbed trucks, and on the flatbed trucks were these massive Atzei Shitim. How big were the Atzei Shitim? 10 amos. 10 amos is between 15 and 20 feet. Okay, so picture a flatbed truck piled up with these massive, massive logs of Atzei Shitim. They look, what in the world are you doing going down to Egypt with a flatbed truck of these massive Atzei? It's bizarre, right? Bizarre as possible. I know, trust me. I know the day will come when you're going to build a Mishkan and you're going to the desert. In the desert, there's no Atzei Shitim. You're going to need it. Really? You know? How do you know all this? I'm wrong. How do I know that I'm wrong? Because it doesn't say that. It says he took with him Atzei Shitim, which means unita'am. When he came into Egypt, he planted them. He took a flower pot with him. Yaakov Avinu, when he went down to Egypt, he could fit all the Atzei Shitim in his hand, in a little flower pot. Seedlings, garnished. Now in Egypt, do Atzei Shitim grow? I don't think so. Obviously, they made a greenhouse. They must have made a greenhouse there in Egypt. In Egypt, he planted these little saplings of Atzei Shitim. Unita'am. It's explicit. He planted it in Egypt, and in Egypt, it waxed ois grois. It became massive. You need to be 10 amos. And when they left Egypt, that's where the funny scene took place. They took with them flatbed trucks, and on the flatbed trucks, they took the mature Atzei Shitim that were growing for 210 years. They cut it down.
They left Egypt in such a haze. They didn't have time.
It's a good kasha. I don't know. I really don't know the answer. That's what it says in Rashi. I don't have an answer for you.
They took this into the yam?
Yeah, flatbed truck, can you imagine? Piled all the way to the top of Atzei Shitim. Okay, that's what it says. Am I making this up? Perish Rabbi Tanchuma Yaakov Avinu Sofam Recha Kodesh Shasidin Yisrael Livnois Mishkan Bamidbar Vehevi Arozim Limitzrayim. Now there it's not a kasha. Unita'am. And he planted it. Vitziva lebanav litla mimorem, and he commanded his children to take it with them, kishayotsu bimitzrayim, and he told his children, I'm planting it, it's going to grow big, in 210 years when you leave here, don't forget, when you leave Egypt, chop them down, put them on a truck, and they're going with you. It must look very funny, but that's what he did. Now, we come into the Midbar, we build a Mishkan. Now, and the Mishkan goes with us into Eretz Yisrael in Gilgal 14 years. Now, look at this, look what's so fascinating. The Mishkan is the Mokoyim of a Hashras Hashkin of Klal Yisrael. It was the center of Judaism, the place where the Shekhinah rests. When you look at this structure, now, Klal Yisrael, we have a history. This is us. The Beis HaMikdash is Klal Yisrael. This is Klal Yisrael. So you would think, who are we? We are Bnei. Where do you get the Arozim from? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. These are our roots. Our bias. We are a bias that is a bias that comes from our ancestors, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So it'd be very convenient. Let's just play fantasy for a moment. Let's make believe that Yaakov Avinu, when he went down to Egypt for 210 years, he took with him mature Arozim, massive pieces of Erez, Atzei Shittim, on a truck. They came down to Egypt, they put it in storage. 210 years later, they took it out with them. Now we build a beautiful Mishkan. Wow, beautiful Atzei Shittim. Where did you get this from? Yaakov Avinu. Beautiful, your nation, you're loyal to your roots, to your ancestors. Weren't you in Egypt for 210 years? Yeah. That was a nightmare. It was a nightmare. That was just like, you know, it was an event that happened to Klal Yisrael. It was, you know, yeah, we were stuck there for 210 years in Egypt. We were persecuted. What else is new? We were persecuted and we suffered. But Baruch Hashem, we made it. We got a holiday out of it. A lot of good food, an industry, hotel business is very good Pesach. We got something out of it, but that's not who we are. Who are we? We are Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Mitzrayim was a bad dream. Kachaloim Ya'of, we were there for 210 years. It was a horrible experience. You know, we'll blame Avraham for it. Because he went down to Mitzrayim, there was a famine, he had more emunah, he didn't have enough emunah. No, our ancestors are not perfect, they made mistakes, so we, Ma'is Ovo Simon Labonim, so we went to Egypt for 210 years, but that's not us. That does not define us. Look at the beautiful Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, the beautiful Atzei Shittim, Mishkan, it reminds us of our ancestors, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's incorrect. Because when Yaakov Avinu went down to Egypt, he didn't go down with Atzei Shittim. He went down with seeds. He went down with little saplings, garnish and garnish. Do you know where those Atzei Shittim grew? It grew in Egypt. When you look at the Atzei Shittim, it's true, the seeds are Yaakov Avinu. But you know where it grew? You know where it developed? In Egypt. Every time you look at the Mishkan, the Makom of the Hashoyas Hashkin of Klal Yisrael, and all of their glory, you're reminded of Egypt. You're reminded of the horror, the Avodim, the Inui Oysam Arba Meoshana, the horror, the torture, the persecution, Kol Habein Hayiloid Hayoyer Tashlichu. That's what you want. You know why? Because you know what a person is. You know what a nation is? A nation is the product of their nisyonos in life. What defines a person? Is it the good times or the hard times? The hard times. What makes you who you are? It's the nisyonos of life. That's what makes you who you are. The Mishkan, where did it grow the Mishkan? Where did it develop? Where did these Atzei, massive Atzei Shittim? It grew, was developed, it was nurtured in the most difficult times of Jewish history. And this is the bias of Klal Yisrael. This represents the essence of Klal Yisrael, the Mokom de Hashras Hashchina. It wasn't beautiful cedar trees, beautiful Atzei Shittim in Canaan, in the good old days, back when Yaakov Avinu was living in Eretz Yisrael. That's not where it came from. You're right, that's the Shoroshim. That's where the seeds, the little saplings. But Yaakov Avinu didn't take down to Egypt big, finished pieces of wood and just said, wait with it until the nightmare is over, and then you'll go back. Business as usual, you go back to where you came from. That's not the way it works. It grew in Egypt. It developed in Egypt. It was planted in Egypt. And we cut it down in Egypt, and we took it with us, and it was used to make the Mishkan. We are a product of our difficult times. Dr. Phil, what were you saying?
Well, they were cut down the night of the Yasmin,
right? Yeah, that's what it says. That's what, there's a Farish and Rashi. It says the Farish and Rashi, Yaakov Avinu Tzafri HaKodesh HaSidin Lishol Livnos Mishkan B'midbar Vehevi Arozim Limitzrayim Unito'om. And he planted them there in Egypt. Don't ignore that word. He took them down to Egypt, and in Egypt they were put into the ground, they were watered, they were nurtured, and if you'll tell me that Atzeishim don't grow in Egypt, they must have built a greenhouse. They must have done something. Vitziva, and he gave the command, Libanov, that when you leave here one day, this land, Litlam Imohem, don't forget to take these trees with you, Kishayatsu Mimitzrayim, when you leave Mitzrayim. Kishayatsu Mimitzrayim, when you leave Mitzrayim. What? Was that in the movie?
Yeah.
I have a question.
In the new edition. In the next edition. What?
They knew that they were going to take those trees with them. So they knew when they were going to leave Mitzrayim. They didn't have time to bake bread too then?
Someone else asked that question. I don't have an answer for you. It's a good question. I don't have an answer. But
that's
there's a very...
There's a very
powerful message. We are a product of the difficult times. That is what... We don't ask for it. We don't want it. Loi hein v'loi sechoron. Chazal say, we don't want it. And we don't want the benefit that comes with it. But unfortunately, Hashem has other plans. And unfortunately, part of life is dealing with difficult situations. And the way we deal and embrace those difficult situations is what defines who we are. We're godless for over 2,000, almost 2,000 years. It's not just a nightmare, a dream, and then when Mashiach comes, we'll get back on track, who are we up to? The godless defines us, it shapes us, it molds us, it gives us opportunity. We don't want it. Loi hein v'loi secharon. But if it's forced upon us, we're born into it, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity, it's something that you take to your advantage to make you who you are. Pshuto kimashmoi. The Mishkan was a product of the development, the growth of those trees in Egypt. Those trees grew during the most difficult, painful moments of our existence. When you look at it, you can recognize the mold. Every inch of that tree was at a time of tsar. It defines who we are. Okay, let's now go to another idea. The Badim. Let's talk about the Badim. The poles. All of the Kalim have poles. The Shulchan has poles. The Mizbeach HaZohav, the small Mizbeach has poles. The Mizbeach HaNechoshes, the big Mizbeach has poles. The Oren has poles. But the Menorah doesn't have poles. Why not? You know, it's so funny. The only thing that we have today, a relic of the past, is the Menorah. Where? Etched in the Arch of Titus. And the Arch of Titus, the Oren, has Badim. You ever think about that? On the Arch of Titus, he did a very big favor, Titus, whatever you want to say in English, in Hebrew. Titus in Hebrew, Titus in English, however they pronounce it, in Rome. He did us a favor that he made that arch, because if he did not make that arch, today they would say it never happened. Right? You know, isn't it amazing? They'll still say it never happened. They'll still say, but it's a lot harder. It's a lot harder to deny the fact that he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash because he himself preserved the legacy that his legacy by building this magnificent arch and etching there on the very top the image of the Jews. You know who's shloping the Aron? Those are Jews. those are Jews schlepping the Aron. Not those are not goyim. Those are not the, not they were slaves. The Jews were taking those. The depiction shows captives of the Jewish people being forced to carry this object, and they're being crushed under its heavy weight, and they're bringing, they're marching into Rome the treasure of the menorah. Is it really the menorah? Is it really the menorah? So it's not so simple that it's the picture, because it's missing. There's a lot of discussion. It's missing the bottom, the base.
I said if this is the Aron, we know what the Aron looks like.
The menorah. Right, the menorah.
Yeah,
okay,
but all right. Answer that question, because there were many menorahs.
Many menorahs, right. There were many menorahs. This has seven branches. You're not going to make a menorah that has seven branches. It's not so simple. No one knows the real answer, okay? The base is not correct. That's not the way it looks on the bottom. Whatever. It is what it is. But there's no question that it's a depiction. At least it's perceived in the world as a depiction of the Churban Sheni and the capture of the menorah. And as they're carrying it, Aren't there poles on it? Maybe I'm making a mistake. Maybe there are no poles. Maybe I'm making a mistake. Okay. But the point I want to make, though, is that you see, when you carry the menorah, you have to carry it. How do you carry it? How did they carry the menorah when they traveled 40 years in the desert? Well, they picked it, they held on to it?
On a wagon.
They put it on a wagon? So what about the Aron? The Aron they carried, right? They carried. And the Shulchan they carried. And the Mizbeach they carried. And the Mizbeach and the Chosh they carried. But the menorah, that they didn't carry. That, there were miracles in their Tamid. That they didn't carry. That they had to go put on a wagon and go wheel with. Why couldn't you just put on the base of the menorah, make it with poles, make it some technique. There shouldn't be a technique to make it with poles where they can carry the menorah. My high. What?
Be balanced.
They can figure out a way to do it. I'm sure they would figure out, and one of the Aron they were able to carry. The other thing was able to carry. Everything was al-pi-an-nes. A lot of things don't make sense. There's a will, there's a way. Why are there no badim for the menorah? And the Aron, it does have badim. And not only does the Aron have badim, Chazal tells something very bizarre about the badim of the Aron relative to the badim of the other kelim is v'lo yosuru mimenu. The shulchan and the mizbechos, the poles were removed. When the menorah, the shulchan was put in position, they took out the poles. When the mizbeach was put in position, the poles were taken out. The poles were only inserted when they were traveling. When they stopped traveling, no more poles. But the Aron, the lo yosuru mimenu, you don't take out the poles. That comes to teach. So look at the extremes. The Aron has poles, but they never removed. The menorah has no poles to begin with. Mamish mikotza lakotza. And everything else has poles, but only sometimes. But what is this all about? So the answer is, let's suggest an answer, something along these lines. The Aron and the menorah, as an aleph base off the bat, they both represent Torah. Typically, Chazal say the Aron represents Torah Shebichsav, and the menorah represents Torah Shebalpeh. There are two kelim which Chazal explicitly say represent Torah. The Aron is the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu brought down Shemayim, the Luchos, that's in the Aron. In the Aron, they put a Sefer Torah, the whole Sefer Torah. I mean, it's the Aron is for the Torah. The menorah, ki ner mitzvah, the Torah, or. The or of the menorah is Torah. There's nothing to discuss. It's the Ferish Chazal. The menorah, with all of its facets, all of the kaftorech, perochecha, all of the different facets all represent different miktsayas in Torah. Chochma of Torah. You want to say this chochma chitzaynis. It all points to the center branch, the chochma of Torah. It's all about Torah. No matter how you look at it, you can't escape the fact that it's Torah. Okay. Two kelim for Torah. One kli for Torah has badim, and the other doesn't. And not only does the Aron have badim, the badim are so unique. V'lo yosuru mimenu. You're never allowed to let go of these badim. But And the other kelim, sometimes yes, sometimes not. So let us suggest the mahalach. The other kelim, the mizbeach, and the shulchan, the purpose of the badim is to support the mizbeach. The mizbeach needs support, needs a lot of money, the mizbeach. To bring korbanos every single day. Tamid shel shachar, tamid shel nabayim, the se'idim, the musafim, and the wood. I mean, you need millions of dollars, maybe these trillions of dollars to keep the base HaMikdash functioning. You need support, so they have to. The badim represent that when you travel, you have to pick it up. You have to support. And that's But and the tubas beichos and the shulchan, of course, it needs support. And the parnasa doesn't come by itself. Parnasa comes. You have to work. You have to engage gezuntah. You have to engage in activity in order to make a few dollars. You have to hold on. It represents applying yourself. You have to apply yourself in order to succeed in fulfilling what these things represent. To make parnasa, you have to apply yourself. To bring sacrifices, you have to apply yourself. You have to give up of yourself. You have to give money. You have to apply yourself. When it comes to the Torah, there's no question. But once you applied yourself, that's it. Now there is reciprocation. I have done mine, and now it works for me. I invested in going to school. I invested in setting up a business. I invested in putting in my yegiah. Now I let go, and now the money comes in. The customers come into the store. They make a purchase. I provide a service. Now the money comes in. You make a sacrifice. I give a sacrifice. It brings blessing. Hashem now reciprocates. These things with the badim, there are badim that are applied and removed, represent, it's a two-way street. I apply myself. I support it. The badim means I hold on to it. I pick it up. I support it. I apply myself. I give to it. I do something for you. And you do something for me in exchange. Now we put you down. I take out the badim. Now you give me back something in exchange. I made a sacrifice. Hashem says, I will bless you. I have worked, done honest living. I've done my hashtaglus to make a parnasa. Hashem sends bracha. There's going to be fresh bread, lechem upon it. When it comes to the Torah, the badim are never removed. Why are they never removed? Because it's a different type of badim. And that is, as Chazal say explicitly, the badim are noisei es noisa. You think you're doing the Aron a favor? The Aron is in a league by itself. Its badim are never removed because its badim are not there because it needs you. It's a one-way street. You need it. The Aron was noisei es noisa. There is no way any four human beings can carry the weight of the Aron HaKodesh. The weight of the Kruvim with the Aron was beyond human capability, beyond possibility for any four human beings to carry that weight. Impossible. So how then were they able to travel in the Midbar with it? Chazal say it was a miracle. The Aron was noisei es noisa. Those who touched it, carried it, it was really in turn carried by the Koyach of Torah, which teaches us the principle that you think you're doing Torah a favor by supporting Torah? You think you're doing Torah a favor by learning Torah? Ha ha, the Torah is doing you the favor. The Torah is supporting you like the Chofetz Chaim. Only he can do this. Don't try this at home. You go fundraising and you say to the person, I'm raising money. I'm offering you an opportunity. I'm giving you the zechus of, I'm allowing you to contribute money to this project. I'm doing it. He said explicitly to them, you're not doing me any favor. I want to publish the Mishnah Berurah. You're not doing me, or Chavetz Sefer Chavetz Chaim. You're not doing me a favor. I'm not asking you for a favor. I'm giving you an opportunity to have a zechus in being a partner. And I'm not giving this zechus to every Tom, Dick, and Harry out there. Because I don't want them to participate in this. I only want special people to participate in this. Now you try to do that today when you fundraise for a yeshiva. They'll slam the door in your face. Okay, you try to talk like that. The Chofetz Chaim, his holiness allowed him to talk like that, and it worked. A fundraiser goes and says to someone today, I want to do for you a favor. Give me a million, giving you an opportunity to give me $1 million to my institution. Doesn't work, right? It just doesn't work like that today. But that's what Chazal said the Aron did. However, the Aron does allow itself. Now let's talk about. Let's just now finish off this idea with the following insight. There's a principle called Yisachar Zevulun, where people, not everyone has the opportunity to learn Torah, but you have an opportunity to support Torah. And the world does not exist without this thing called Yisachar Zevulun. There are those that have in their neshama the ability to learn. They're the Yisachar people. But Yisachar, unfortunately, needs a partner. And Yisachar cannot survive alone. There has to be a structure. There has to be some type of structure of financial support in existence for him to thrive. And that is the Zevulun. So the Zevulun is holding on to the Badim and is supporting the Yisachar, who is the Orion. And the principle is, don't think that Yisachar, that Zevulun is doing a favor to Zevulun, that Zevulun is doing a favor to Yisachar. It's pumfakert. It's Yisachar is doing Zevulun the favor by allowing Zevulun to support Yisachar. But by both sides, one thing here at the end of the day, and because of that, what happens at the end of the day? Zevulun gains an enormous amount. Chazal talk about all these very mystical principles, which I don't really understand, is that in the next world, people who support Talmidei Chachamim, they're rewarded, they know everything that's Yisachar. I don't know what this means. They whatever Yisachar learned, they also know, they have a chelikin, they learn with them the chavrusa. I don't know what these things mean, but one thing it means for sure, people who appreciate that it's not that they are supporting Yisachar, but it's that Yisachar is supporting them, they merit a very, very great reward in the next world. Now, here is when I want to say something very controversial. There is a caveat to that. And that is, there are two types of Torah. There is the Torah of the Oroin, and there is the Torah of the Menorah. Pashtus says the Oroin is Torah Shebichsav, and the Menorah is Torah Shebalpeh. You can't just say that, because there's really no such thing as the Torah Shebichsav without the Torah Shebalpeh. How do you... You can't really separate the two. What it really means is there is a two different levels of Torah. There is a basic level of Talmud Torah that you need just to survive. If you don't know the halachas, you don't know how to read a pasuk in Chumash with Rashi, which is also the Torah Shebalpeh, you can't live. You have to know what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is all called Torah Shebalpeh. And then there's a different level of learning. Where you're learning, it's not necessarily practical. It's not nice. You really can't say that, because Aliba, everything ultimately becomes practical at some point in time. Lasuke Shmaitza Aliba de Hilchasa. But it's a different league. It's a whole different league of Torasai Unasai. That type of learning, there are no badim for. Zevulon has no shaykhis in that learning. There's a Torah that Zevulun can buy. You can buy anything for money today. We discussed yesterday, you can buy a Dayan, who is a Soine Betza, for enough money. You can buy him also. You can buy Torah. You can buy what?
The more
Soine Betza. You can buy Torah. Torah, Rabbi Sai, is for sale. You can mamish go today and buy Torah. You give money, you give money, and you're going to get all of these mystical things that it says in Chazal by supporting. You be a Zevulun. The Zevulun is a shudif with Yisachar. You hold on to those badim. The badim lo yosuru mimenu. You want to be the badim? You'll be permanently attached to that Yisachar, to that Aroin. That Yisachar is going to carry you in the next world. But Rabbi Sai, that is just level A, level one of Torah. That's the Torah that's represented, that's found in the category of the Torah in the Oroin HaKodesh, which is Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebalpeh, Shulchan Aruch. But then there's another level of Torah, the Menorah HaTahorah, the Kaftov of Ferach, the Prochim, the flowers, the almonds. There's a level of Torah that's above and beyond, that is only found in the people, Torasai Unasai, people that are fully, fully immersed. And that Torah, there's only one way to have a chelik in that Torah. You do it yourself. Don't think you can give money. Oh, I also want that chelik. I also want to have the kaftorim and the prochim and the almonds, the shkedim, and the Zov HaTar. I'm sorry, there are no badim on the Menorah. There's no way you can hold on to it. It's either you're the menorah or you're not the menorah. When it comes to the level of Torah found in the Aron HaKodesh, and don't get me wrong, the Aron HaKodesh is in the Kodesh HaKodashim. We're dealing in Kodesh HaKodashim. And this is the Luchos. Ma'aseh Elokim Hema. We're dealing with the real deal here. Even if I have no shaychus to Torah, I'm not just cut out for it. I just don't got the mind. I don't have the ability. Don't worry. For money, you can have it. What do you do in life? You work, you make a few dollars, whatever, you give a dollar. You don't make a lot of money. Your $1 is, Bill Gates gave $100 million. Because that's the same equivalent of what. It's worth it. Hashem accepts it, and you have a chelik. You're holding on to those badin. But don't be a fool to think that you can be, that giving a few dollars makes you into Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the menorah hatahira, the pirocheha, the kaftoreha, the shkedim, and you know Rabbi Akiva is not touchable because there are no badim on the menorah. You can't hold on to the menorah. You can't support the menorah. You're either the menorah or you're not the menorah. And if you want to make a choice in life of who you want to be, if you want to devote yourself, you'll be the menorah. If you don't want, or it's just not, every person on their level can be a menorah. Everyone, it's not enough just basically to give money and do nothing. You give money to be part of the Aron. But a person also has to find in his own life a degree of fulfillment and satisfaction in learning Torah and becoming an accomplished person on his level in Torah, because that's going to be your personal menorah hatahorah. There are two dargois in Torah. Support Torah and appreciate that it's really supporting you. But don't just write a check and go, I'm out. I'm done. You're yoitza. You're not yoitza. Because you'll never have the menorah unless you learn Torah yourself, because for the menorah element of Torah, there are no badim. So sach hakol, take away, there are three different madregos. Madregos in the kelim. There are kelim which have badim, and the badim go away. There's a kli which has badim and never goes away. And there's a kli that has no badim. The kelim which have badim, which will go away, represent a two-way street. I give, and it gives back. I support it, I've done mine, and now I accept some reciprocation. And then there's something which has badim that doesn't go away. Why doesn't it go away? Terry says, you have to hold on to it for your lifeline. It's your lifeline, don't let go of it. Why? Because you're not giving to it, it's giving to you. The fact that it doesn't go away means it's always, you have to hold on, it's supporting you, it's giving you life. And then there's a kli which has no badim, which means you can't support it. It's either you are or you're not. You're going to be what's not or not. Okay, let me leave you off with one last thing. One last thing. I have a lot of things. Unfortunately, I didn't get too far. One last thing. I think this is a nice vart, short vart. Unfortunately, we'll have to do some other, another time to do the other verloch, but there's a very strange Rashi. Rashi points out as a short vart, so I'm not going to keep you long, a short vart, where Rashi says there's repetition in the Torah. In the Aron, it says, in Pasuk Tes Zayin, the last Pasuk before Sheni, V'nosata el ha'Aron eis ha'edus asher eteni lecha. Make a beautiful Aron and put in the Aron the Torah. And then we begin Sheni, and we describe the kapoires, the cover of the Aron, the Kruvim, put the Kaparis on top of the Aron, and it says, oh, by the way, don't forget that before you close up the Aron, don't forget the El, it says, V'nasata is a Kaparis al ha'Aron, milamala, and don't forget the El ha'Aron, titei neso edus asher eteni lecha. Don't forget to put the Luchos inside the Aron. What's going on? It says exactly the same pasuk, not exactly, a little bit different, the order of the words, twice. When it make the Aron, it says, what do you put in the Aron? Put the Luchos. And then it says, make the Kaparis, and put the Kaparis on top of the Aron. And by the way, don't forget, before you close the Aron, don't forget to put the Torah inside the Aron, the Luchos inside of the Aron. Who asked this kasha? Rashi. Rashi says, what in the world is going on? V'ya lo Aron, titei nesedus, lo yodati. Rashi, I don't know why, lo manichbal. Why does the Torah repeat itself only a few psukim later? Exactly the same thing. Shekvar nemar v'nasat el ha'oroin esu edus. V'yesh loymar sheba lamed sheba oydei oroin levade b'loy kapayres. He didn't mean telling the whole drasha. And even before you make the kapayres, it's repeating it twice to teach you that even before you make the kapayres, already you should already put the luchos in the oroin. Don't leave the luchos lying around. Put the luchos in the oroin even before you fashion the kapayres. Let's not go through it. Rashi gives a very technical answer to the question. I want to suggest to you a drush, a simple, very short drush. There are two types of Torah you put in the oroin. There is the Torah you put in the beginning, and then there's the Torah you put in at the end. What do I mean? You learn Shas, Sima Shas, first Machzor. The first time you learn Shas, you don't really appreciate what you learn. And then, when you make a Sima Shas, what do? You learn a second time. The depth and the appreciation of learning a second time Shas, going through Daf Yomi a second time, or anything you do twice, is very different than the first time. What is the difference? What's the difference between the first parasha and the Torah, and this parasha and the second parasha? The difference is the Keruvim. When the Torah says the first time, I want you to put into the Arayin the Torah, the Keruvim did not yet exist. There's no such thing as Keruvim. Then the Torah says, okay, make Keruvim. What do the Keruvim represent? It represents the Hashroas HaShchina. It represents Ufneim Ish El Ochiv. Talmidei Chachamim Shenoichin Zeh Lo Zeh B'Halacha. Two Talmidei Chacham that are pleasant to one another in learning. There is Achdus. Then, now you learn Torah, it's a different Torah. When you start out the first time, you're young, go to elementary school, high school, you learn, you don't really appreciate what you're getting yourself into. Nevertheless, that should not stop you. You do what you're supposed to do. Then later in life, you see the beauty, you see the keruvim, the parsei chinafayim lemala, soichachim b'chanfeyem, the hashros hashchina. And the Pneim Ish Elokiv, the relationships that you've established through the Koyach of Torah, wow, that's now a whole new appreciation. Now that you've gained that appreciation, Nochamo, now when you learn, it's a whole different Torah. It's not the same Torah you put in the first time. Now go back and do it all over again a second time with a new appreciation. There is the putting of the Torah in the Arayin when you're young and naive. And then later in life, you see the koyach, you see the koyach of the Keruvim that is created through this, your effort and your amelus. And now you realize, wow, let me do it all over again a second time. Let me chaz nochamo. And this time I'm going to do it with a whole new appreciation. It's exactly what it says. You make an Arayin, there's no kapayres. No. Invest in the Torah. Now when you see the payrois of the Torah, you see the Keruvim that are soichim b'chanfema with the Keruvim, you see the payrois. So now do it again. Invest nochamol. Put the Torah again into the Aron with a new appreciation after you have the Keruvim. And this cycle continues over and over again, because each time, relative to the second time, the next time, it's as if there were no Keruvim. Torah is alluding to you, you're never finished. Even though you think you're finished, I've done my job, I've put enough Torah away for safekeeping for the next world, you're not over. Do it again. When you have an appreciation of what you've accomplished, Nochamo, put more Torah into the oven. Have a wonderful Shabbos.